Father, thank you for this precious book. Lord, I don't know what, we'd be helpless without it. It's not that the Holy Spirit lives in us, don't give us power. It does. But Lord, our word is no more than anyone else's word if we speak it verbally. But Lord, if we read it from the Scripture, that's the Holy Spirit. I know this tonight. I read these verses, Lord. And anybody here who has the Holy Spirit's going to bear witness to our heart what is truth. We don't have to guess it. We don't have to worry about it. There'll be a bearing witness to what is truth. And if there's not, there's something wrong with that person spiritually. Because even Jesus showed he went back and told what God said to straighten these Pharisees out about this one issue. And it's amazing today how people use issues out of context to try to prove a point, to push something in turn just because it fits, satisfies the flesh somehow or another. Please help us tonight now as we look a little bit further into this about what is the meaning of life if there is no God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to turn to Act. I want you to turn with me, first of all, to Psalm 14. And, of course, that if you look there in verse 1 through 4, we'll begin to see what's happened. In other words, when we talk about atheism, we talk about religious people who believe in false gods. That's one thing. But atheism doesn't believe any type of God. And atheism is the only belief system, I believe, that you know of which literally rejects God completely, any form of God whatsoever. In fact, atheism really doesn't even believe in evolution, because in evolution there is some type of gaining from consciousness, from nothing to consciousness. And it when you look at that and begin to go back, it puts some type of thing. It may be just force. It may be just force someone calls as a type of beginning. And if it is, then force itself is a god, but it's a false god. But atheism totally rejects God. Now, other religions may not have teachings of deities of some kind that you can see, but they have false gods representing deities that you cannot see. And so atheism literally means there's no God or it's without God. Now, saying there's no God is no real big thing. Just saying it doesn't change anything. Just because someone says there's no God, it's a big thing in God's sight that he's denied. It's a big thing in God's sight that a lie's been told they say there's no God. But as far as God is concerned, them saying there's no God not going to change a thing. Because God exists. And there's enough evidence, he says, even look towards the sky. There's enough evidence to know that God exists and he's alive and he's well. And so just saying it may not change. But when you consider the implication of their belief, they think it does change things, but it does not. Really, it makes things more foolisher than ever. And I think you see this, because I'm testing, approach this from the outside now. We're in the family of God over here and rejoice. We have the Word of God hiding in the heart. Rejoice it. Now we're approaching the outside to see what they see. They don't have the Holy Spirit of God. Somebody say, now wait a minute, you don't know that. A man who does not believe that God exists don't have the Holy Spirit of God. I mean, that's just obvious. And so a person who says God doesn't exist, they don't have the Spirit of God. They've never been born again. Because you can't be born again and deny he exists. Amen? You can't do it. A man says, I don't believe in God, yet I'm a born-again Christian. It makes more sense to believe in evolution than that. So here we see Psalm saying, telling us this thing. Since they're saying there is no God, saying that, it, again, kindly gives them strength, and then they try to add to that why they believe that, and the logical mind thinks, because what is, maybe it could happen if you hear it enough. We're creatures of gradualism, isn't it? We hear it enough, then we'll probably end up believing some of it anyhow, except if we don't have the Word of God to counteract that. But when you talk about creation by design, things do change. Man alive, when I see this and realize there's a mind behind it, there's a creation behind it, it changes my whole outlook. If I didn't know there was a God, I'd be wanting to know who did all this. Because no one can ever convince me with the mentality that this thing just happened to exist. It's too complicated. And so when you look here, here's what Psalmist David said. He said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They're corrupt. Isn't that amazing? Holy Spirit just let David say, hey, man, don't believe there's God. He's corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. And then he picks up what we see the book of Romans picks up when Paul brought this out and quoted over there in Romans. He said, the Lord looked down from heaven from the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Do you remember that? A book in Romans, I think chapter, what was it, 4? 3? Yeah, 3. There's none to understand it. He said, verse 9 down through verse 8. He's quoting from what David said here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. And notice again, he says, they are corrupt, and they have done abominable works. Now, why is that? Why would you say that they did it? Because if there's no God, they don't have any idea what to do to please the living God. They don't believe he's there. So anything they do would be what? To please Seth. So they're going to chart a course out just to please Seth. What this old flesh enjoys, they're going to wallow in it. And if you have the upper hand of power, you're going to use your power to destroy those who try to keep you from it. Because the flesh enjoys it. But not with God. Now God goes on and says, there's none that doeth good. Isn't that amazing? You know why? All have sinned. Romans 3, 23. In fact, he says in Romans 3 also, there's none doeth good, no, not one. Now, listen, let me ask you a question. I'm trying my best to get you to think. How do you look at that if you're looking at it and he says, there's none doeth good, no, not one? And so somebody says, well, I believe in God. Are you saved? No, well, ain't got anything to do with it. I just believe there's a God. Do you think they have a relationship with God? That's right, brother, because if there's none doing good, not one, and Jesus came to die and made it possible for us to leave the category of a sinner headed to hell, to become a child, not just a created being by design physically through procreation, to become a child of God through the new birth. That makes sense. Because he's moving us from one sphere to another spiritually until we get out of this sphere. We can grow and develop to prepare for that time when God takes us in a glorified body. So here in these first two verses, I see a lot just reading, because when I read these words, other verses come to enhance this so that I can put it together to understand what I need to know. Not everything I need to know, but enough to know I get the picture. There's a difference between those in the world not saved, those who don't believe in God, those who disclaim the things of God, and then a person who says they are saved, if they're truly saved. And then I have to realize there's a difference between a person in the world who says they don't believe in God and somebody who says they do believe in God, but they're still not saved. Either one, these two are the same. Right? They'd have to be the same, because you can't have a relationship with God without the new birth. And the new birth is through Jesus Christ. And then he goes on and says what? They are all gone outside. They all together become filthy. There are none that do it good. No, not one. That's exactly what Paul said in using the verses to the book of Romans to teach this thing about all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, notice this. In fact, in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, you see where he talked verse 2 and part of verse 3. He said, and then he goes on, he said, have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord. Isn't that amazing? That's what we're seeing now. Our nation, people in our nation, religiously, are eating up God's people who stand upon the word of God. I mean, they're guttling up and everything behind them said, that's right, that's right. You either don't like it, get out. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a system where in turn it's going to cramp you not to do anything, no doubt. I wonder how many Puritans and Pilgrims and people from foreign countries before this country ever started heard that say, if you don't like the system, get out. And by the way, a lot of them did. And a lot of them came and brought us a blessed nation that's ever been lived, unless it's the nation of Israel. We are privileged to live in the blessed nation that's ever been, unless it's the nation of Israel. And I believe God's going to show us. We got to take our stand, but at the same time, we've got to be sure that that we understand what the stand is, and in turn, be nice about it, but yet be solid about it. And then he goes on. He says, have no knowledge who eat up my people as they eat bread and call them on the Lord. There were they in great fear for God in generation of righteousness. Now, if you will look with me again, you look in Romans. You want to look in Romans chapter 3. Verse 9, 10, 11. Turn over there with me, and we'll just glance at that so you'll see how Paul picked that up under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he went all the way down. If you go all the way down, we'll go down to verse 20. Watch how he does this. He said, what then? Are we better? Well, when we go back, You go back and up and see what he's talking about. He lays the Jews out in advantage of that, and he's showing how the redeemed, if our unrighteous commendeth the righteous of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? And I speak, he's trying to lay out the difference between what God says been saved and also why a person say they don't see why they need to be saved. The verdict is that God's already pronounced everybody under sin. He's leading to this when you get verse 23, all sin comes short of glory of God. But notice, he says that when you get right down to the whole world's guilty to God, he said, what then shall we, are we better than they? No. In no wise, he said, for we have before proved both Jew and Gentile that all are sinners. Now it's written. And you know, it's why some people almost cut that out of the Bible. A lot of folks tell you now, no, not me, I'm not that bad. And especially Jews. And he says, it's written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're all going to become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Almost what we see David said. Then notice he begins to describe these. He shows the conduct. Here's how they are. It's not ever all of it, some of it. He said their throat's open sepulchre. Their tongues they have used deceit. This is the poison of ass and under their lips. He said, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, and feet swift to shed blood. Note the action, destruction and miserly in all their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. Why? Because there's no peace without peace with God. You can't have peace of God. Peace with God starts with Jesus Christ. And he said, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Their cause, the reason they do this, is because they have no fear of God before their eyes. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, let's face it. There's a tendency to feel because one nation gets so strong in its own arsenal, in its own way, in its own history, they don't need God. And I want to tell you, there is an army, and I say that, of Christians in this country realize we do need God, and we're probably more than those who say they don't, but because those who say they don't are in the political positions, most of the time the laws cramp us when it comes to our freedom to serve God like God would have us do. If you look in Psalm chapter 36 with me, and then we'll get in some other things. Look in Psalms 36. This is kind of a launching pad to get off on this about what's the meaning of life if there is no God. Look in Psalms 36, 1 through 4. Again, Psalm of David said, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He devises mischief upon his bed. He sitteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in thy heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds, and so forth. God himself is in charge, but God is merciful. He's tolerant, and he lets many things take place. So I want us to take, as we look into this next couple Wednesday nights, what atheism teaches about the meaning of life. When you talk about life, what atheism teaches about the meaning of life, this makes, when you hear this, now I want you to just keep in mind the next couple weeks, when you hear what they teach, this makes less sense than creation by design, the atheists. Because they don't even believe in evolution in the sense of what you have the scientists and others, many scientists say, but they believe that we exist by chance and just here. And it's hard to understand that because we can think like no one else can that's in this earth. And yet all of a sudden, how do we get that way? You'd think you'd come to a point somewhere or another, God being intelligent to make us intelligent. But not so with them. And so in most prominent atheists, there's generally reject the idea that God exists. And since there is no God, they must have an alternative explanation of how the world got here. Okay, they believe there's no God. We'll give you credit for that. Say we here would give an atheist the credit. There's no God. Okay, tell us how we got here then. Isn't that a good question? Isn't that a good logical question? Surely if there's no God, you thought about enough to tell us how we got here. And what they say don't make as much sense as evolution. And yet on the other hand, evolution is not the key either. It's just a thing that man thought up to remove God out of the picture. And since there's no God, they have to make an alternative. So the explanation far for most is evolution and the Big Bang. In some of the eras, they explain the miracle of life and the existence of the universe as a natural and explainable scientific process that happens in the absence of God. And they will go not so far as evolution would go, because evolution does bring little life to higher life to have an intelligent, but they'd go to the fact that there is a place somewhere or another we started, and we came to a point to where we are today without either one of those. They suggest that this all occurs without a deity, without God. It's a guide in the process. There was no God to guide the process, and it's completely self-sustaining and naturally by some force itself. Now, here's the thing, and I'll leave this thought with you, and I'm through tonight. Here's the thing. If they even say that there's a time it started, and it's by a force, they give it some power that has no name, because there's a force sunk behind that force. Now, let me give you something I saw back looking at the Chapel Hill channel a couple years ago. There was a professor on there teaching about life origin. And he was talking about, you trace back, you get to quadrants and things like that, and eventually you come, there's nothing. And he had a bowl over here, or a ball over here that was lit up. It must have been a good-sized ball. And he kept tracing back to that ball. And then once you get there, that's force. And from there, everything else came. But when you get there and trace back to certain degrees, eventually you come to absolute nothing. Now, I don't know about you, but even if I thought that ball had any power, I won't know where it came from. That's an unknown. And he kept talking about, I won't go through all the terminology, he's something like quadlets, and you get back to a point and there's absolutely zero nothing. But where'd that come from? But just go back here. If this is the force of everything we've come from, it's the power. It's a God. They just don't know what the name is. They call it the force. And that's the same thing about atheists. They believe somehow or another that we didn't come from a slime or something like that, maybe, but we came from a force in turn to where we developed where we are. We're our own energy. When we die, we come and we live and hope to produce the next generation and be a little better, and we just die and go to oblivion. There's nothing left. Now, let me ask you a question. What good and what purpose would life be if that's all we are? We're no more than an animal. With two legs and can talk, that's all. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's not some reason by us being here, why are we here? God has a reason for us. He has a purpose for us. He started it back 6,000 years. All of that is a mind behind that. And by the way, he gave us a mind. Listen, let me tell you something. You're not getting married just to be married. There's a reason why you got married. You don't work just to work. There's a reason. There's a reason in your mind that you're going to get something from working. And God has put it here for a reason. That's the reason I preach a message. In fact, if you look this week, we got in the news, we're going to start putting anybody who helps support the radio, a choice message every month. It's somebody going off to the radio. We got an offer, and I'm going to send that to them this week. We got another offer from down next week, or think of it. But I preach the message, God is logical. God is logical. He's logical in who he is. He's author of the scriptures. The scriptures are logical. And he's given us a logical command to serve him. I don't care, ladies, where we're at. We're saved. Hear me, please hear me. Whatever you're doing for God, God, not only did he let us be birthed through procreation, but in us who are in Jesus Christ, he has a plan for us. He has a purpose for us. He wants us to be used in the body of Christ to fulfill, because say the DNA that we have and the ability we have are different. And I don't care who we are in this church, God needs you to put together for the whole. We're not the whole if one is lapsing. There's things I cannot do, and you can. Some things I can do, you cannot. But I'm telling you, the purpose is now, not only does he brings us into time through procreation, But the plan is to find His will for our life in the body of Christ and then enhance the head, or listen to the head to enhance the body, to follow Him. And we have a purpose. Evolution has no purpose. Because evolution would think the same thing. You come up, you die, and that's it. Atheist has no purpose. You live and you die, and that's it. Father in heaven, I want to thank you again, Lord, for the word. Lord, we're on ground that sometimes to try to analyze the opposite of who we are in the scriptures. There's not a whole lot of scripture except some things where God has just made a statement. And from there we get our instructions. But it's much better when we see God gives us exact, precise words that we see that are sound words. And in turn, the Father, help us grow in grace and knowledge. But sometimes we need to look at the opposite side. And we have enough information in our day to do that by reading and studying, that what people believe outside the family of God, outside the realm of God. And Lord, there's one thing for sure. There's no reason in this world why this world should not believe there's a God. There's no reason in this world to have atheists. Because I don't care where you go on this planet, you're going to find individuals worshiping something or someone. Because it's built in us. God programming in us the purpose to be able to look for something higher than we are. Because we're faced with the problems of sin. It is devastated at times, weakness and sorrow and troubles and trials and all the things that we go through in this particular life makes us look at life. There's got to be something even better. And Lord, you give us the understanding that man, no matter where he's at, is looking for a higher supreme being. And many times, since they don't have the truth, I believe maybe you made us, Lord, so you could tap into us and let us know there's someone who loves them and cares for them. And when they're in a country that don't hear the blessed word of God, don't hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, then Satan comes and taps into that heart to make them believe in a false God to destroy them. And the only thing can change that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, give us a picture, best we can see, of what you're doing in this world so we'll fulfill our little small part until we see your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.